Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Budwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Matthew Park of the Richmond, Virginia-based trio, Reverse Your Curse. The group has just issued its debut album, Where Are We Going, and When Will We Get There? Richly eclectic with subtle doses of humor that contrast beautifully with the album's weightier moments, it's a fine example of a band dedicated to giving listeners an emotionally dense and immersive experience. Park recently spoke about the band's direction and the material on Where Are We Going and When Will We Get There? That's on Into Music, coming up now. Listening to the album, it struck me that in some ways this is like kind of like an older style album and a kind of older style band, in that there's a distinct sound, but then there's eclecticism within that. You're not just doing one thing. Was that something that was in place from the beginning?
Yes, I think so. I think that like initially that was just a kind of innate tendency that we had. And then once we kind of recognized that, like we kind of took ownership of it and decided we're not a genre band. We think of each song as its own little world, you know. So whatever songs we work on or write, whatever that vibe is it, that's what it is, you know. Like we don't really need to just like focus on one style of music. I think that like to our benefit, you know, regardless of what style a song is in, it still kind of sounds like us anyway. And I think that's something that's really special, you know, because of our voices and just the way the music sounds sonically. Like if we have a fast number or a slow number or whatever, they're still us. And I always enjoy artists who are able to work in that kind of slippery way, you know. It's easy to write the same song over and over again. And I think it's more challenging and a lot more fun to do different stuff all the time and just keep it interesting. You know, I mean, some of our songs, when we're working on them in the early stages, they'll have kind of a spirit band kind of behind it somehow secretly, you know, like in the end result, you might not realize it, but in the early stages, we might've been thinking of it as like our Devo song. Do you know what I mean? Or like, this is kind of like our Pixies song or something, like as a spirit kind of relation to our heroes and such. Once we kind of put our touches all over it, our fingerprints all over it, it just becomes us in the end anyway. You know, now the kind of lack of genre and a continuation of style makes it kind of tricky as far as like logistical things such as track sequencing, you know, sequencing your album, trying to figure out, and also the way that people outside of us like want to talk about our band and talk about the album. If they're thinking of one song, they might have one outlook on it, and then if someone else is talking about a different song, they might have a different outlook on it. So we enjoy that. We think it's fun.
Yeah, and I even noticed occasionally, like sometimes within a single song, there's like little left turns, and it's like, ah, that was fun.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, we just want it to be fun for us, and we want it to be weird. You know, we're all artists. We all come from like, you know, many years of being not just musicians, but visual artists and film lovers and all these things. And so like, we want to imbue our songs with this sense of artfulness and, you know, having like a really stark contrast within a song, you know, that's exciting. That's interesting. And it's kind of like real life too. You know, it's like going about your business one day and then there's a car accident that you witness or something, and that just disrupts everything. Like that's just kind of how it is. And we get to play with that in our songs. Some songs don't have that sort of thing. Some songs are very linear, but the ones with the like juxtaposing elements are the fun ones, you know.
So is this a case of the three of you writing together, or is this a case of like you come up with something at home, you know, that you've got like a Thursday night rehearsal session or something, and you say, hey, I've got this idea. You throw it out to the other two and just see what happens.
It's a bit of both. Some of the songs I wrote myself, like just at home, you know, on a guitar, and wrote the lyrics, and then I'll bring it to the band and then work on it together and finish it. Other songs we write as jams. So a lot of times before we start our rehearsals, we'll just have free form jam sessions, and we often record them on our phones. And sometimes we take little pieces of those jams that we find to be good enough, and we'll turn them into parts of songs, and then we'll start arranging from there. Those songs are probably the weirder, more interesting ones. Like, there's a song, it's the second song on the album, and we made a video for it. It's called Shoes Today, and that one we just was straight from like us jamming, this jam session we had, and then it just took like a little bit of subtle arranging to make it an actual song that had a flow to it. And then in that instance, Bonnie, who's our singer, lead singer and bass player, took it upon herself to write the vocal melody and the lyrics and brought it to us. And there was really no deliberation over it. We were just like, that's it. Like, this, the song came together very, very easily. And we enjoy that. Those are the ones that are like really special. I always find as an artist or a musician that if you're really struggling to work on a lyric or a part of the song, of a song, it's losing its magic somehow. Like, all the good stuff just comes from the ether, from some other world, and enters you and into a song somehow. And that's one of those cases. Some of the songs, in fact, were pieces of jams that just Brett, our drummer, and I had before Bonnie even joined the band. So 2 to 3 years ago when we started, it was just me and Brett, and we got a little practice space and started playing with like loop pedals and just drums and bass loop pedals. And then I would play the guitar, and we had synthesizers and some drum machines. But when Bonnie joined the band and started playing the bass guitar and singing more, we were able to take some of our older ideas and kind of like retool them to the three-piece, you know, power trio formula, and that's that. So yeah, there's a number of ways the songs come to be.
Okay, cool. I want to, just so I don't forget, I have it here in front of me, spell check. I love where that arrives on the album, and it's funny to me because you were talking about sequencing maybe sometimes being a challenge, but it was sort of like, I think there's a couple of times like on Yola Tango albums where they'll just have like this, like, again, kind of like a left turn instrumental or something in the middle. And it reminded me very much of that. It's like, okay, here's something. And now for something completely different.
I love that. Yeah, I know. Like, we've been calling it like an interlude, you know, like, and the way we put it on the vinyl album, the physical vinyl album, is that we put that spell track song on the last song of side A. And then the last song of side B is like the companion to that song, which is called Cast Your Spell. And it's just essentially the same song, but like an entirely different version of it, which kind of nicely bookends the album. But yeah, I always like that, you know, like, you know, Broadcast is one of my favorite bands, probably my favorite band of all time. And they're a band who plays with that too. It's like, they don't feel the need to have singing all over the place. Like, you can leave space for breathing room, especially for people who have the patience to listen to an entire album. It's kind of nice that like you have all these like weird peaks and valleys of emotions and songs, and then you get this little interlude to kind of like breathe a little bit, and then you can turn the record over and start it up again, you know? So yeah, I'm glad that you like that too. That's nice.
So I'm curious because it's funny to me too, because you're the second sort of visual artist that I've talked to today who's also involved in music. And my sense is that I know that sometimes, you know, visual artists will collaborate, but I think collaboration is very often off the table in that world. You're usually in a studio by yourself, you know. What is that like then when you step into a band, which is very much on one level or another going to be collaborative? It's not just you.
Yeah, it's not always easy. It's hard to... you want to keep everybody happy. You want everyone to have equal ownership of the music and the image and the output, everything that we are. But invariably, that's not always the case, because maybe someone has a really busy week and someone else has to kind of pick up the slack to do some other stuff, you know? You know, creatively, we try to be as democratic as possible. I'm probably the most admittedly controlling kind of member, I would probably, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying that proudly. You know, if I write a song, sometimes it's almost like, because I might hear it in my head as an entire song, like already constructed, it's harder to let the other, you know, Brett and Bonnie have the space to do what they want to do, to add their voices to it, you know? So in that, it comes with like needing to let go of the reins a little bit so that others can kind of like add their fingerprints to it, which always makes it for a better song anyway, you know, whatever they do. I mean, and then for the jams and stuff like that, those are just like free form things, but we'll spend time in the studio collaboratively arranging those. We'll, and very mathematically, you know, like, well, let's do this weird part we just made, you know, we'll do that six times and then we'll do this part four times, you know, just like map it out in usually a pretty standard format, a kind of a verse chorus verse kind of format typically for those. But yeah, I mean, keeping everyone happy is a challenge, and it's something that I'm interested in, you know, I want everyone to be happy. But at the end of the day, like, the songs have to exist, and then once you're done with the song and you let go of it, it's not even necessarily yours anymore. It goes out into the world, and it's meant to become other people's property, you know? And at that point, you're ready to just keep working on the next stuff, which is where we're at now.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting, right? Because when you make something, short story, a poem, a song, a painting, you have no idea how it's going to be received. You have your intention, but somebody, like what I'm looking at behind you right now, that piece, myself and five other people are going to see 10 different things in it.
And you know, this painting right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually one of Bonnie's paintings. She's a painter. That's what she does. Yeah, so it's a very large painting on the wall of this couch behind me. Yeah.
You know, maybe some people will view it and they'll feel sad or they'll feel nostalgic. And she might have meant it as being something very humorous.
Probably so. Actually, I'm probably the humorous one, knowing her. Yeah. Or something about memory. She'd have to be here to tell you, but yeah.
So the same with the songs. I'm sure that when people are hearing this record, at some point they're going to talk to you about something and you're going to go, wow, you got that out of that?
Yeah. And that's fine. That's cool. I mean, if somebody has a take on a song and, you know, repeats it to me, maybe it's enlightening for me. Like, maybe I get something out of it from their perspective that I didn't really catch the first time around. And that's why art is worth sharing. Like, because there's a multitude of perspectives, there's always something to be learned from someone else's perspective. You know, like, I, for the most part, wrote all the lyrics except for one song on the album. And those lyrics, I know what they mean for me, you know? But I'm not going to write a document that, you know, accompanies the album and describes exactly what each lyric is about, because, you know, within the mind of the creator, like, every other line of the song could actually secretly be about a different person or a different thing, you know? It's, like, very specific sometimes. So for other people to just take what they need from the lyrics and from the songs is beautiful to me, you know, like that's fine. And I don't take any offense to it unless, you know, if there was some odd situation where someone misinterpreted a lyric into something nefarious, you know, but that's not really what it is, you know, or would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's telling us to go rob banks.
Exactly. Or if you play it backwards, it's a Satanist song. It's not. Yeah.
But I suppose too, there's also, I would imagine, sometimes kind of a subconscious thing at work where you might be very intentional, but stuff might come out that you're like, oh yeah, gosh, I guess I was writing about that.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I had the first single that we released off the album is actually the first song on the album, and it's called Who Cares? And the lyrics I wrote, I remember I like to write a lot of, when I'm outside of the house. Like I'll go on a bike ride, and here in Richmond, there's like some lakes nearby. It's called Bird Park. I'll bike over there and sit on a bench. And often I get my best ideas just sitting on a park bench, you know, writing in a journal. Or nowadays, often I'll get song lyric ideas and just write them down in the notes app of my phone, right? Because that's where we are technologically. But like, you know, that song is just like, I wrote that song. And I needed lyrics. And what I wrote was like, you know, you were home, your cell phone didn't seem to do anything, no calls, no texts at all, no reason to get dressed today. Very like just depressive kind of like stuff, you know? And that just came out of me in like kind of one wash of thought. But the song ends up being kind of triumphant because the character in the song ends up saying, screw it, like who cares? Like I'm gonna pick myself up and go out for an evening and see what happens. So there's a triumphant element to it. And I've done some other interviews for this release, and people kind of picked up on that and thought that like in some way I was speaking for lonely people, you know? And that's profound to me because I have been a lonely person. Like everything in that song, it does come from me truly, you know? But I don't want to say the words I in the song because I don't want it to be about me. It's easier to sing the song in the third person or second person so that it's not about me and then it could be about anybody. But that's just an example of a song that like came out of me very organically and naturally without much thought and turned out to be something that's could be very relatable and poignant for a many number of people out there. And that's like very, very, very special to me as an artist, because that's what you want. Like you want to reach people and you want to reach people who understand you and who have maybe been where you've been. And, you know, in my life, I've been in all sorts of terrible places all over the, you know, all over. And so to be able to still do what I'm doing and for that to be able to reach somebody is very, very, very special.
You mentioned thinking about the next phase or the next batch of material with the song band. And this is always interesting to me because it's like, we'll talk about a record. Well, you and I right now specifically, but me and, you know, somebody else tomorrow. And that record's been done for a year and it was written a year before that. And now it's like you're in this phase where you kind of have to relive it. But what you really want to do, I think, or what a lot of people want to do is they really want to get to the next thing.
That's right. I mean, the creative process of it is typically the most fun, you know? And like for me, I think Brett and Bonnie might agree, like being in the studio is very fun, you know, like really like making the songs, like recording them, and that is so fun. And like, we can't wait to get back to that place again. But yeah, now that the album is out, it behooves us to continue rehearsing those songs so that when we perform them live, they're good, you know, like they has to be good. So because we're adults, we're somewhere in our mid-40s, you know, and like we've got jobs and responsibilities, and we tend to only practice Mondays. That's our practice evening, Mondays. And like, we can only do so much. So like, sometimes if we have shows coming up, we need to just rehearse the old songs so that we're good at the show. And then we have to kind of put our new ideas on the back burner that week, you know, and then it kind of takes a little while. Like we need like a good stretch of time where there's no shows or something so that we can focus, because we have a good handful of new songs that like I'm very, very into, that are all somehow different from this album. But we just need the time to get to it, you know. If only life were more affordable these days and we could work less and work on our art more. But it's the opposite. The opposite is true. Life is more expensive now, and you have to work your dumb job more and do your art less. You know, it's not really the balance that we would prefer, but we're doing it. We're doing what we can.
You've been listening to a conversation with Matthew Park of Reverse Your Curse. The band's debut album, Where Are We Going and When Will We Get There, is out now. You can learn more about the band via their official Bandcamp page as well as their Instagram account. You can learn more about this show and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And by the way, this is an excellent time to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.